may be seated this morning. Aren't you thankful that he's a friend that sticks close like no other? Praise God. Good morning. It's time for Sunday school in the big church. Praise God. How many of you do the grocery shopping? Mostly ladies, but there are a few men out there. It's kind of split in our house. Sometimes I do it, sometimes John takes care of it. And I brought some groceries. Actually, truthfully, I emptied my pantry and every cabinet so I could find these bags here. I'm not fixing breakfast. I know some of you are a little disappointed, but not fixing breakfast this morning. But I do need someone to help me. Abby, can you help me? You. I think you're the only Abby in the room right now. So just pretend you're unloading the car and take these groceries. We'll pretend that the kitchen is straight back. However you do it. Oh, yep, here we go. I know how this is going to go already. Yeah, oh, here she goes.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
I can't get the boxes. This is as good as
I can. Oh, so close. That's a lot of groceries, and those are heavy. Three of us carried them in from the car. Let's hear it for Abby. How many of you are like Abby? As many bags, no matter the cost, right? I used to be that way. Every bag, no matter the cost, no matter the weight. I was determined that I was going to do it. Until a couple years ago, and I had something happen that was just completely out of the blue. I was doing something that should not have caused injury, but it did. And I reached out in emotion and snapped the tendon in my elbow. And it literally dropped me to my knees instantly. And I have not been the same since then. So most of the time, if I'm picking up something, I'm going with my left hand. I ignore the right hand because it's not very helpful. But it's getting better. But like Abby, a lot of us, we want to pick up as many bags and take as few trips as possible, no matter what happens, until there's an injury, until something happens that changes the way that we behave. And life can be like that. Every grocery bag can represent some sort of a burden, something that we have to carry, something that we have to maneuver, and we want to try to pick it up, and we want to try to carry it, and we don't want to wait for somebody to help us. I have learned the value of my 15-year-old son and his muscles. I have learned the value of my husband and his contributions. And I have learned that I don't have to do it alone. They are there to help me. But I have to ask for the help. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. Because, like Abby, we are trained to do as much as we can on our own. I got this. I'm going to take care of this. Honestly, I wasn't sure if you were a get them all or take one or two trips kind of person, but you did perfectly, so thank you. So think of this as we go through today's lesson and we learn about Absalom. Absalom was the rebellious son of his father. Does anyone know who his father was? King David. He hated his half-brother Amnon. For due reason, he hated his half-brother. It's kind of complicated because when we look at our families today, if I was to say that my half-brother was here, most of the time there would be a close connection of family, right? But who knows how many wives that King David had, let alone concubines. And the culture and the way that it was in those days was very different. So the households were separated and they weren't all together. So even though they were half-brothers, they certainly weren't close brothers, any of them. There was a lot of disconnect between them. So keep that in mind as we learn about this story of what happened with Amnon and Absalom. You see, Amnon fell in love with his sister, Absalom's sister. So even though it wasn't like direct, indirectly it was family. And he fell in love with her and manipulated her in a situation. And the Bible tells us that it was so bad that he actually raped his sister. And what he thought that he just could not live without, and what he thought that he absolutely loved, he grew to hate. And he discarded her just as quickly as he was infatuated with her. And Absalom found out about this, and in this time, the daughters of the king wore special garments, the virgin daughters of the king, and she had to shed that. And she knew that her life, her reputation, that everything was just done because of what her brother had done. And so Absalom came to her rescue, and he said, you know what? Rather than you being discarded and being an outcast, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. You're going to stay with me. We're not going to let this happen. I don't really understand where David was in this situation. Perhaps it was the past for David that kept him from stepping forward and taking care of the situation. Perhaps it was his affair with Bathsheba. Perhaps it was the guilt and the burden that he continued to carry. Whatever the reason, we're not told, but we can speculate. Whatever the reason is, he didn't deal with the situation. And so what began to happen is Absalom grew in hatred towards his brother. And he began to scheme. And he even started to get men on his side. Men that had once been loyal to King David were now with him. And one of those men was Ahithophel. And he had been a counselor to King David. And somehow Absalom convinced him to join his ranks and his men and his mission. And they began to set up camp alongside of King David. Ahithophel betrayed his king, and he began to serve as counselor to Absalom. And eventually what happened was, it wasn't just about Amnon, but now all of a sudden he wanted to kill his father, and he wanted to overtake his throne. So Absalom brought Ahithophel, who knew the king, who had been counselor to the king, who had the inside scoop on how the king thought and what his strategies were, and he said, Absalom, come on. I got some advice for you. This is how you can take your father. This is how you can take down his mighty men. So he gave him some very shrewd and tactically smart plans to pursue David immediately. But God had another plan. God took Hushai and put him in the camp of Absalom. Hushai was another confidant of David, a counselor. And basically what happened is he was in the camp of Absalom, and while Ahithophel was giving Absalom this advice and coming up with this plan, he didn't know that the inner circle was compromised and that the Lord had placed somebody in there to help shed light on the situation. The move was pretty brilliant on David's part to send Hushai into the camp. And sometimes we can look at life and we can come up with strategies of how we need to attack life and what we need to do, because we need to be able to carry all the grocery bags. We need to be able to take care of everything ourselves. And we can go and come up with these great plans, just as Absalom and Ahithophel had done. But God says, wait, I have another plan in place. And for the people who are hungry and searching after God, he will give them the correct plan, no matter the strategies of the people around us. No matter what, the Lord was working on David's behalf. The Faith Life Study Bible observes the divine supernatural work of God regarding this story like this. In response to David's prayer in chapter 15:31, Yahweh raises up Hushai the Archite to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Yahweh also ensures that the needs of David and his entourage are met while in the wilderness. So even though it seemed like something that was David's plan, God was meeting a bigger plan. He had a bigger purpose. So not only did Hushai provide alternative counsel to Absalom, which helped to preserve David and his men, he also sent a warning to David of Absalom's plan. It's not up to us to know everything about it all. We don't have to understand everything to know that God is at work. And yet somehow we get stuck and we get lost because things are happening and things are being said and actions are being taken. And we don't know what they mean in our lives, and so we have to come up with a plan. We have to carry all the grocery bags. But God is our burden bearer. He wants to help us carry the grocery bags. Thanks to Hushai's advance warnings of the plan, David and his men outmaneuvered the army. It's a very curious thing to me when I think about King David. And if you know anything about his family history, it's complicated. It's the definition of complicated. So much happening within their family units, it's just unbelievable to me. But a lot of times I wonder what would have happened, as I said before, if David would have intervened and dealt with some of the actions rather than just letting them play out. Perhaps they would have avoided a lot of heartbreak. Perhaps he would have avoided seeing his army go after his son. David loved his son. It was his son. And he sent his men, after he got the report from Hushai, he sent his men to go and to attack and to protect the throne and to protect the kingdom. But he had one request. Does anyone know what that request was? Don't kill Absalom. That was his request, which I find to be very curious because Absalom was a pretty big threat to David and to his throne. But David's love for his son was greater than his love for his throne. His emotions took over what we would call smarts. But Joab and his men went out as they were commanded. And it's very interesting how the hand of the Lord just swoops right into the situation. What was Absalom's pride and joy? His hair. You guys are doing awesome this morning. His hair, his locks. He was very proud of them. And it's rather interesting to me that while riding through the battlefield, it was his locks of hair that hung him in the tree, that made him vulnerable to his enemy. And even though the king had requested that his life be spared, Joab said, "It ends here. We're done." And this broke David's heart. As a parent, as all the parents in this room, no matter what our children do, they're our children. No matter the choices they make, they're our children. But we have to be careful with that love because the love must be grounded in truth. Or we will reap the chaos of King David. The turmoil of King David. It was so bad for King David after he died that he basically just went and shut himself away. And the men came home, and rather than being proud of their victory, they kind of slipped quietly into their tents and out of the way because they didn't want the king to be even more upset with them. And Joab said, "Enough! You are going to lose your kingdom if you don't go out and face your men. If you don't go out and celebrate the victory that they accomplished today." And despite his feelings, he went out. Now, even though he loved him, we know that King David faced extreme betrayal by his son. I mean, when you look deeper into the story about how Absalom went after Amnon and he had all of his brothers come and basically ambushed them, just one thing after another. And then he said, "Okay, I'm not just going after Amnon. I'm going after my dad's throne, and I'm going to keep going." And David was betrayed. He was betrayed by his own flesh and blood. He was betrayed by a friend, Ahithophel. He was kind of betrayed by Joab, who took his son's life. And there was a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings that came. It's never pleasant to be betrayed by somebody. Has anyone here ever experienced betrayal? It hurts. It hurts deeply because a lot of times the betrayal comes from someone that we love, someone that we know, someone who's not supposed to do that. And it's hard because it's emotional. It causes us to think things that are difficult to process. It causes us to close people off. It causes us to put up walls around us that says, you know what, never again. It causes us to close off the love of God. It causes us to close off the plan of God in our life and in the lives of people around us if we are not careful. David carried this burden of betrayal. We know this because we read in Psalm 55 about betrayal. Now, he doesn't come out and tell us this is about my son Absalom. A lot of people look at that and say that it has to do with this whole situation and the betrayal that he felt from friends and son and everyone. And his burden was so heavy. But he knew where his encouragement and where his help came from. And when we read in here, Psalm 55, verse 22, we can read about his feelings, but what he did with those feelings, more importantly. And he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Peter also encouraged the early believers to rely on the care of the Lord Jesus as well. In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You see, the Lord sees us picking up our grocery bags. He sees us in our most challenging times of life, and he cares. He loves us, and he wants to take the bags, and he wants to help us. But we have to open our hands, and we have to release it, rather than hanging on to the hurts, hanging on to the disappointments, hanging on to the frustrations, hanging on to the questions, hanging on to the what ifs, hanging on to the it's not fair, hanging on, it wasn't supposed to be this way. We can hang on to all those things, or we can learn to cast our cares upon him. We're told that it is one of the greatest keys to having a successful Christian walk is to maintain an abiding faith in God. How do we maintain an abiding faith in God? How is it done? Anybody want to answer the question? How do we maintain an abiding faith in God? Say it again. Prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, being in the Word. They're such simple things, but yet so many of us refuse to pray and refuse to read the word, and we can't figure out why we can't carry the grocery bags. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for you, and it's frustrating for us. Because really, it's as simple as coming to Jesus. Now, my mind and the way that I think is very analytical. And I try to picture something as I'm thinking about casting my cares on him. Because it's not easy when your heart is broken, no matter what the situation is in life, it's not easy to do that. It's hard. It's really hard. And yet faith is really, when we look at faith and we break it down, I would say that faith is acting in accordance to your beliefs. What do you believe? Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you believe that he is in control? Do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe that he is working all things for your good? All things. Not just the good things, but all things. So again, I ask, how do you maintain your faith? Or maybe I would ask you to pause for a minute here and ask yourself, how am I maintaining my faith? am I maintaining my faith? If your maintenance plan is Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, you don't have a maintenance plan. We must be in the Word of God. I remember, I don't think I was a teenager yet, but I remember facing a death in the family, and I was feeling very unsure and afraid, and my mom gave me this verse, and I held on to this verse so many times because I didn't understand. I knew that I was afraid. I knew that fear was very close, and I really struggled. I struggled with it. And so what I learned at that age is that you got to find scriptures that you can hold on to. And the scripture that she gave me is 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear." And so for me, as a part of my maintenance plan for faith, what I like to do is have note cards. In fact, you'll find them in my Bible. If you look in here, the other night, somebody returned one to me because it had a jellyfish on it, so they knew who it belonged to. But I like to take these scriptures and personalize them. And so what that means for me is on this card, it has the verse, but then I say to myself, I know that God is love, and his love is perfect towards me. I will not be afraid. I will trust in him. You see, we have to find these scriptures as a part of our maintenance plan so that when the storms of life come, not if, but when, betrayal happens, challenges happen, hurts happen. Because living for God is not all roses. We want it to be. We really want it to be all about the goodness and the love. And I promise you, it is about his goodness and it is about his love. But sometimes it's not in the package we were expecting. Because he's working for eternal purposes. His plans are higher and his plans are greater. Another scripture that I actually keep posted on my monitor at work, more as a filter for myself and a reminder that when I have hard days, yes, you can have hard days in the church office. People are people. We are all human. Perfection does not exist on this side of heaven, so expect it. Be prepared for it. Be ready for it. Combat it. It's going to happen. People are going to surprise you. People will amaze you one way or the other. It will happen. 1 Peter 4:11. Now, this is in the way that I read it for myself. And I say, when I speak, let me speak with God's words. And when I serve, let me do it in the strength that he provides. I don't have to carry all of the grocery bags. And let me live my life so that God is glorified. It's not about me, but it's all about what he's trying to do in you, and you, and you, and in me, and everyone around us. And yet sometimes we get so close-minded and so wrapped up in what's happening in our situations that we don't realize what God is doing. And we have to find the eternal perspective on what he's attempting to accomplish. And we have to do this before we face the storm, before we face the struggle. Because when you're in the storm, there is no easy way to see. It's hard. It's challenging. It's disorienting. But God has placed all of us together in this beautiful church family. We are all family, and he has placed us here to encourage one another, to help one another, to say, hey, you know what, Sister Pam, I know you're going through a hard time. Here's some of things that help me. Here's some scriptures that I know that you can hold on to. You know what, I know it's difficult right now, Brother Ben, but we're here for you, and we support you, and we love you in this season that you're walking through. You know what, sometimes life is just difficult. It's not even anything that's grand or huge. It's just little things. Yeah. little things. But we're here to help each other, to encourage each other, and to say, you know what, you can trust his word. You can trust his heart. You can trust his hand. You can trust that he's got bigger plans. Amen. He has a purpose for everything that we go through. It just might not be what we thought it was going to be. And we need to be okay with that. Because he is sovereign and he is God. Yeah. Ever since my son was a little boy, I wanted to make sure that he knew scriptures. And Pastor always talks to us about reading a Proverbs a day, one chapter of Proverbs every day, continuously. Just pour that into your heart and into your mind. And teaching him the scriptures when he could just barely talk, and he would quote those to us. But another thing that I wanted to do is I wanted him to understand who God is and who God sees him as. And one thing that I have said to him repeatedly is, you are a beautiful, wonderful child of God. Yeah. I would actually go into his room at night and I would whisper, Kenley, you are a beautiful, wonderful, and he would go, child of God. Why? Yeah. Because we put it in him. Yeah. When everything is happening around him, I've tried to teach him, you know what? It doesn't matter what I'm telling you. It doesn't matter what Pastor Peter is telling you. It doesn't matter what Sister Alicia is teaching in class. What matters most is what the Word of God says. Yeah. So when the questions come, and they will, you look to his word. As David found his strength in the burden bearer, you look to his word, because his word is our truth. And you will always find something in here. When there's challenges in life, I would encourage you to do a word study. If you're stuck on something, do a word study and find those scriptures and read those scriptures and reread those scriptures and hold on to those scriptures. And if you know somebody who's struggling, one of the most beautiful things that Brother Ben did for Sister Stephanie was he gathered up scripture cards. And we wrote scripture cards together with their family. And he knew that she was struggling, and he posted those everywhere that she could see them so that she would know this is the truth of God's word.
Yes, it is.
You're facing the storm, but here's the truth of God's word. There have been many other people who have done the same thing, and I think it's something that we should do more of. Now be careful what scriptures you decide that you need to give to somebody. Just be careful. Use wisdom. If you don't have it, the Lord says ask, I'll give it to you. But if we do it saturated in prayer and studying the word, the Lord will use you. And he is using so many of you. And it's a beautiful thing to watch people walk out what God is doing in their lives. And we have a choice in life. We can get stuck, and we can get weighed down, and we can get stuck under the burden, or we can cast our cares on Jesus, because we know that he cares for us. We know he wants to help carry the grocery bags. If we let him, you don't have to do it on your own. God wants to be your help, and he wants to be your burden bearer.
Yes, he does.
Even if it's little, even if it's massive. All of it, he cares.
Yes, he does.
But we have to surrender it first. And that's a challenging thing to do. That's a very challenging thing to do. But we have to be the ones to say, okay, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this. I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not supposed to be this way. But I trust you. And I trust your hand. And I know you're working. And I'm going to cling to your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for being in class this morning. How many of you are using your devotionals? Ooh, way better than the youth class. These devotionals, if you don't have these, this is something that we have made an investment in so that you can have these. I do know, Sister Mo, do we still have them? Okay, she's still got a few. If you do not have one of these, you can pick them up from her. Wave your hand back there. She's my super helper getting these passed out. These are not just books for the sake of having books, but these are devotional guides that correspond to the lessons that are taught. So every Sunday, one of the pastors gets up here and they teach. And whatever lesson they teach, you have this book. And you can go through this. We were just talking in our staff meeting about how timely these lessons have been for us as a church and for us personally. And going through these, and there is the very first thing of the, excuse me, the very first thing of the week is an overview of the lesson. So sometimes it's challenging because we come in here on Sunday mornings and we have our 10 o'clock lesson, and then we pause, we worship, and we come back for another. And then maybe before we even walk out the door, the first lesson is out of our mind. But this is designed so that you can take this home, and then every day there is a devotional that corresponds with the same thought process of the Sunday morning service. And this is another way that you can maintain your faith, another way that you can dig in and know the truth of God's word. I was looking at one of last week's lessons. Instead of asking you what the lesson meant to you last week, I decided I would share from the devotionals. And thinking about King Hezekiah and Pastor Phil, Pastor Peter, I'll get there, taught our what lesson last week about King Hezekiah. And looking at him, and one of the things that stuck out to me was actually, I think it's Thursday's devotional, is in here he was doing what God had asked, and God even said to him, I am pleased with the spiritual reforms that are happening, because he did them with all of his heart, but yet they still were attacked. And typically in the Old Testament, when you see that, it's because it was disobedience or something happened. But here, it was because God had a bigger plan. And thank God for the faith of Hezekiah that helped to carry those people through. So, long story short, and because I finished early, I'm doing another plug for this because I don't want you to forget about these. We get these every quarter, and they're here to help you. Some of you have devotionals. I have another devotional that I receive by email. And it's not very long. I like to go through it. But every person attempting to maintain their faith should have a daily devotional, a daily time when you are reading the word and you are digesting the word, because it's here to help you. We teach it because we believe it. And if we believe it, we should live it. Amen? Please stand. There are teachers who are waiting for you. Actually, we're ahead of the game, so you have 5 minutes in here, and then we would ask that you remember to pick up your littles from Sunday school so that the teachers can also come in here and join us for worship service. God bless you. I love you all.